Hall of Fame Major League Baseball manager Sparky Anderson is with us and you here on Sports Byline. The other thing, too, Sparky, that I'm fascinated by is the fact that most people do not understand that when you make a decision during the course of the game as a manager, you're not necessarily making that decision based on that particular moment. You may be thinking about tomorrow's game or even the next series. Am I correct?
100% correct. And where you are in the position in the standings, will this mean more to me down the road 3 months from now if I hang with him here, or if he thinks I quit on him, what will happen then? So all those things go through your mind, and all those things are right there in front of you. But like Dusty said, most of the games will dictate. They'll tell you basically what you're going to do. Every once in a while, and I've seen him do it, you got to come up with an invention of your own because it's not working. I have actually went to the ballpark, told my coaches, boys, we're going to do everything the way you're not supposed to tonight, and we're going to run our tails off. We're going to let everybody go, and we're going to hit and run all night long because we're going to change this thing. Because you have to change. You're in a doldrums. You're not going nowhere.
I once asked Buck Showalter about that, making a decision not for the moment but for the next day or the next series. Here's what he told me.
Well, certainly when you get into the playoffs, there's certainly a sense of urgency and a live for today. But, you know, the way our season goes, sometimes you have to maybe not have the completely best chance to win a ball game late in the game. You know, you have to always think, like, if I've got a left-handed starter going on Friday and we're playing on Thursday, then I know I want to follow him with a right-handed reliever and I want to have someone there available. Sometimes you have to live to fight another day. You may hurt your chances to win one ball game for the sake of winning three or four ball games in the next three or four days.
Also kind of interesting, there was a time, as you know, Sparky, you could make a decision and nobody, not the players, not the media, anybody would question it. But nowadays, everything you do is second-guessed. Does that make it difficult for managers today?
Okay, I'm going to answer that, but I don't mean it the way it's going to sound. If you're scared, yeah. If you're not scared that you can pick up the phone if you're relieved of this job and get another one, then you got problems. If you will ever, ever run scared because of your job, you really weren't managing. You were just there hiding and making believe.
Did you ever manage a season in which you knew you didn't have particularly good talent, but you did a hell of a job managing as compared to having a team that was very talented that you didn't have to manage very much?
I thought the year I got fired at 78, I thought was probably as good a job as I personally had ever done. And we won 92 games, and we had tremendous injuries. And we ended up winning 92 games and losing by two, I think. And I wasn't there no more. But 87 was not me. 87, I always told my wife when I left spring training where I thought we'd finish in the standings. I picked us fifth in our division. And I said, we're bad. I said, we ain't got a chance, man. We ended up winning 98 games and playing Minnesota in the playoffs, and Tom's Club beat us and went on to win the World Series. And Roger Craig had called me, and he said, you know, I got to ask you a question. How in the hell did you guys do it? I said, Rog, we don't have long enough the rest of our lifetimes for me to try to tell you, but everything you would want happened, and it did. I never seen a year like that. I told all the players at the end, I said, remember this year, because you always should remember this, because this one was special. No one in the world thought you could do this.
I was out with some friends, and I happened to hear a debate and a conversation going on in which a bunch of guys were talking about the greatest feat in baseball. And the other night we had Don Larson with us, and we were talking about the 56-game, Game 5 against the Brooklyn Dodgers in the perfect game. And it got me thinking about the fact in baseball, a perfect game is a great feat, a no-hitter is a great feat. Four home runs is a great feat. What do you think is the toughest feat in baseball to do?
I think the greatest feat I have ever heard of in my lifetime is Bob Gibson. I can't believe a man pitched 340-some innings and had a 1.12 earned run average. Now, if anybody can ever today, especially with this rocket they got, if anybody ever comes close to it, this guy will be impossible. No, I never heard of any. Where could you ever do that? Against major league hitters. And he was doing it before the expansions.
How about Nolan Ryan's 7 no-hitters?
Oh, that's, you know, he's so hard and that could happen. But show me a guy that could have, how could you do that? 340-some innings and have a 1.12. Now, that is silly.
Sparky, how does the 73 home runs by Barry Bonds rank in your estimation?
I think it's a great thing for him. You might laugh, but I was really pulling for him for the simple reason that I think people have forgotten one thing about Barry Bonds. I hear all these negative things, and I personally don't know Barry. I know Bobby, his father, very well, and Bobby's marvelous. And, of course, here's the thing about Barry Bonds that bothers me with the people and the media. Go back to when he started playing in the major leagues over at Pittsburgh. And then just go right on through at San Francisco. And let's look at games played. You know, you see all these guys that are taking hiatuses, and they're going to the Bahamas for a vacation during the season. This guy goes to the post. He goes to the post. Now, I don't know what more people want from this guy. I'm not worrying about if it is a personality. I don't know him. But if it is a personality, who cares? I don't care. All I know is that he goes out on that field, and he probably gives you as good an effort as any player I've, you know, sat around and watched. And I had Rose, and I seen Reggie Jackson and Dave Winfield. I seen two guys that I seen three guys in my lifetime that ran every single ball out that they hit. Winfield, Jackson, and Rose. Now, this guy's as close to them as I've seen. That, to me, is all you should want. If you're a fan, go see Barry Bonds. Don't complain about him. Go see him play.
We only got about a minute left, and Sparky, hasn't the star player always been treated differently than anybody else?
Yes, he should be. The star player has earned that. I always said this in my meeting in spring training that, gentlemen, let me clarify one thing. When I came to the major leagues, Walter Alston to me was a star. I didn't get the same treatment Walter Alston got. And nobody on this club will get the treatment that the stars on this club get until you earn it. When you earn it, come and see me. But don't come and see me until you've earned it.
Sparky, I want to thank you very much for joining us. As always, very, very insightful. You having a good time in as far as being retired?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, I sent Tom a thing because Tom Kelly is magnificent. And anybody that ever manages against him knows one thing. I had a saying for him. I always said this. If you play a Kelly club, get ready for 9 innings, because he don't care what the score is. His club will play 9 innings. So that, to me, was the best tribute I could give him.
Sparky, thank you very much. Stay in good health and come back with us and join us on Sports Byline.
Tell Dusty that I said he's the greatest.
You got it. Take care, Sparky.
Bye-bye.
Sparky Anderson, Hall of Fame Major League Baseball manager, joining us and you as we continue with more of you and Sports Byline.